Lord, we appreciate your goodness and your kindness, and today we pray as we open your book for it to search us and be a discerner of our thoughts. I pray, Lord, now that you would give our brother wisdom and help us make application. May this not just be purely academic, but may it transform itself into living, practical Christianity. That's what we pray for, and that's what we need. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to see you this morning. Thankful for a beautiful day, a beautiful fall-like day. That'll help the trees start turning, and looking forward to those beautiful trees. Well, we're in Proverbs chapter 1, and we're going to pick up with verse 10 today. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 10. Just a couple of things in review that we need to keep in mind as we study through the book of Proverbs, about wisdom, about foolishness. And you may have thought about this already, but I just wanted to make sure that we consider the fact that both saved folks and lost folks can do foolish things, can do foolishly, can yield to temptation, can commit sin. It's possible for me to commit most every sin now that I'm saved that I committed before I was saved, as far as possibly committing it. Things are different, though, once you know the Lord. Much different in every way. We want to keep that in mind. And there's truths here that's shared or given in the book of Proverbs that apply to both the saved and the lost. And whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. That's an Old or New Testament verse, but it's a truth that's given through the book of Proverbs as well. Regardless, that applies to the saved, that applies to the lost. There are things in this life, and especially in this life, as far as our to the world and the sin-cursed world and things we have to experience in this life, we have to experience much the same in many ways as the lost. It rains on the just and on the unjust. But there are decisions that we make, and we, as saved people, we want to. We understand we have the Spirit of God. Our bodies are the temple of the Spirit of God. We have the Spirit of Christ. And so we have the Lord to help us through this life and the decisions that we make and the path that we follow. We have His Word. We have the Spirit of God to guide us and to help us. And that means everything to the child of God. The unsaved person doesn't have that. And so they can be drawn away or enticed by most anything, those that are lost. But those that are saved, these temptations, as we've looked at the book of Job and we considered what happened to him, the things and all through the Scripture, David, Peter, Satan hath desired to sift you as wheat, the Lord Jesus told Peter, asked to be allowed by the Lord. These temptations or testings that Satan or the devil brings along our way has to be allowed by the Lord, which means that by His strength we can be successful. We can resist the devil. You know, the Scripture says, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. The verse before that says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil and he will flee from you. If we're to resist the devil, it's to be because we've submitted ourselves to the Lord for His strength. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me, Philippians 4:13. And the Bible also says, neither give place to the devil. Neither give place to the devil. I've always looked at that and thought, well, what does that mean? Giving him place, giving him a place to work or operate in my life, giving him a toehold. I've pictured it like the devil's knocking at the door. Somebody knocks at the door. And your front door should open which way? In. Right? You open that door and the devil sticks his foot in the door. And once he sticks his foot in the door, you can't close it back. So don't open the door for the devil. Neither give place to the devil. Now we want to look at these verses. Let's read verses 10 through 19 today. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 10. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood. Let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse. My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. For their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird. And they lay wait for their own blood. They lurk privily for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof. Two key verses here in this passage are the first verse, verse 10, and the last verse, verse 19. And we have an example given in between. Look at verse 10. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. That's a clear, plain statement, isn't it? Said clearly, concisely, no doubt about it. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. You say, well, who's he talking to? This is Solomon speaking specifically to one of his sons or to his sons. And you say, well, I'm not a son of Solomon. What does this have to do with me? Well, look at the verse. My son, okay, let's leave out my son. If sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Is that not a good idea for all of us? Yeah. Is that not the Word of God for all of us? Yeah. Whether we be His son, whether we be young, whether we be old, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. And I hope that the Lord allows me to say what's on my heart today. Verse 19, so are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain. Look at that. Greedy of gain. The verse, I've got the verse, I think I've got it here. Yes, First Timothy chapter 6, verse 10. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. It says they have erred from the faith. So this is a verse talking to saved folks. And it's the most, I think, the most misquoted verse in all the Bible. Because I have rarely heard it said, for the love of money is the root of all evil. I heard it this past week. Somebody tried to quote the verse and they said that money is the root of all evil. Doesn't say that. It doesn't say money is the root of all evil. It says the love of money. And we need to emphasize that. When we hear somebody say that, if we can kindly correct them, say, yeah, it's that love of money. It's not money. Money is a thing. Money is something that can be had or lost. But the desire for it, the coveting after it, the desire to be rich. Verse 9 says, but they that of 1 Timothy chapter 6. And if you would write these verses down, these references down, it may be helpful in regard to this passage. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish lusts, hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. They that will be rich, that desire to be rich, to be wealthy, covetousness. They that will be, you say, well, how can I get ahead? Is there something wrong with wanting to better myself? No, there's nothing wrong with trying to do better and have a better home for your family and for your children. There's nothing wrong with that if God blesses us with that. But for that to be our goal, for that to be what we desire after more than anything, and stepping on whoever or doing whatever it takes to obtain that, that's the issue. And see, for a young person, the ability to get a lot in a very short period of time, or for anybody, you know, most everybody would like to have something for nothing. And if we can have something for nothing, that's what we would choose. If we can obtain something without having to work for it, without having to earn it, then that's what we'd rather have or like to have. That's exciting to get something that we haven't worked for, earned, something for nothing. Look at verse 10, back to verse 10. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood, let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. This illustration, this picture that he's given here, you might say it's a bit extreme. Well, he's talking about robbery. He's talking about thievery. By the way, did you know there's a difference between a thief and a robber? You know, the Bible uses both terms, thief and robber. A thief comes at night under the cloak of darkness or hidden, tries to steal in a way that's not known, but a robber doesn't. Robber steals by violence. And here we have both. We have an example of both here in this passage. Even murder is mentioned. You say, well, Brother Qualls, this is extreme, and this is far more than I think that I would ever be tempted to do. Well, you know, I know a young man. Well, he's not young anymore. He's 5 years younger than me. But when he got with the wrong crowd at age 18, he saved young man. I'll give you more of the story later on, but just a little bit now. He's serving two consecutive life sentences in a state prison in Tennessee. Got with the wrong crowd. They thought it would be fun, exciting, to burglarize a retired couple's home in the middle of the afternoon when they weren't home. Three of them. Well, he thought, well, it sounds exciting. I guess let's see what happens. Maybe we'll get something for nothing. Well, they break into this home, and while they're there, the elderly couple, retired couple, comes home. Dad comes in the door, walks in. What the other two didn't know is that one of them had a gun. And he pulled out the gun and shot him, killed him, right there as he opened the front door. And then the wife, Mom, was going down the steps trying to get away, and he stepped out on the porch and shot her in the back and killed her. Now, this young man that I know, he didn't pull the trigger, but he was there. He didn't know all that was going to happen. He thought it was going to be exciting. Hey, that sounds like something. Let's see if we can do this. I talked to him after it happened. I talked to him about, 15 years ago would it be, Diane, I guess? About 15 years ago I went to visit him. Much has changed in his life. And I won't go into all the story, but he said, what a foolish thing I did. I shouldn't have been with them. I was away from the Lord. Where it happened and when it happened, the community wanted to rush the jail, the local county jail, and hang them. And they had to prepare extra police to protect them from that. Very, very, very sad that happened several years ago. I know him, and I know that it can happen, even to someone who's saved. You say, well, that's a drastic thing. That's an exception. Well, maybe it is, but you know, there are exceptions to this life. And what would the devil desire from us? What would the devil desire to do to us as children of God? Well, his main desire is to make God look bad. He wants to dishonor the Lord. And he uses us and can use us to do that if we do what he says. If we go in his direction, we can dishonor the Lord. As he's the accuser of the brethren, what does the accuser of the brethren do? He goes before, they're not acting like your children. They're not acting like a child of God. Are you sure they know you, the way they're behaving down there? You see, he is the accuser. When we yield to his temptation, then we are making God look bad. We are disappointing the Lord, but our testimony is hurt. What is the greatest thing that a Christian has? It's our influence. It's our testimony. And if we don't have that, we don't have anything concerning this lost world. Amen. We don't have anything. And so the devil desires to destroy that. He walks about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Why would he worry about us otherwise? He'd just let us run our own way and live for the Lord and live happily thereafter. But he doesn't want to do that. By the way, the folks, the lost, this world philosophy of sin and wickedness, there is a desire for lost people. They desire to bring saved people or to get them involved in what they're doing. There is some kind of an attraction to that. There is something that they enjoy about seeing, bringing somebody along and them getting involved in what they're getting involved in, whether it might be drugs or immorality, alcohol, all these things that can destroy their testimony. It's almost supernatural in a way. And guess what? It is supernatural. It's the devil working through them to try to bring us down. You say, well, that's only for kids and teenagers and young people. They're the only ones that have to strut. No. No, the devil's after us as well, older folks as well. Because we have children and grandchildren. There's folks in the community. A lot of folks know us. So what a trophy we would be for him. And look at verse 12. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave and whole as those that go down to the pit. We shall find all precious substance. Well, this is what those that would lead us astray or the child of God astray will say. Just think about how much you're missing by being in church on Sunday. I mean, there's so much other things we could do to have fun or to have things. There's so much other things to this life that you're missing. You know, honestly, God knows my heart. I don't know your families, your family situations, your children, your grandchildren. I don't know. I do know that there's a lot of folks, a lot of young people that the drug addiction, overdoses that's taking place in our communities, and it's in the news all the time. Somewhere down the line, that person took the first drink or took the first dose of drugs, and I don't know. Again, wouldn't it be better if they said no? Wouldn't it be better if they said no? I don't want to have anything to do with that. Why? Well, certainly it would. You have to take the first drink. You have to take the first dose. And he says, well, we're going to find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. You know what spoil is, don't you? When you leave something out too long. That when things spoiled, you know, you ever had spoiled milk? Pretty rough. Other things spoil and stink up the house. That's not this kind of spoil. This is talking about wealth. In old days, the soldiers, that's how they made their money. That's how they were paid, by spoiling the other army that they defeated. They would take things from them, from their tents, from their camps that they have conquered, and they would get their possessions. And that's how they weren't paid. That's how they lived, by taking the spoils from someone else. That which belongs to someone else. Then verse 14, cast in thy lot among us, let us all have one purse. Why? We're in this together. You know, one of the greatest, or I say greatest, one of the biggest temptations to young people today to belong to a group or a gang is that they make, the gangs make folks or young people feel welcome and wanted and important and part of the family. It's a family-like atmosphere. That's why gang members, those that are involved, they're so hard to get out, because it's like a family. In many cases, they're working, or they have associations or friends that they never had before. They're feeling appreciated and wanted like they've never felt before. They've never got it at home. For whatever reason, broken home situation, but the gangs provide that security, they provide that love, or that part of something that matters. We know it's the wrong goal and the wrong outlook, the wrong thing for their life, but the blindness of it. Cast in thy lot among us. Let us have all have one purse. Look at verse 15. My son, walk not thou in thy way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. Don't even run with them. You ever heard the statement, if you lie down with dogs, you'll rise up with fleas? Did you know we're known by the company we keep, but we're also known by the company we avoid? By the company we avoid. Did I ever tell you, I know I haven't mentioned it in here, I may have mentioned it's the pastor. Did I ever tell you about the dirt diver that built his nest in the barrel of the shotgun? I haven't told you that one yet. You know what a dirt diver is? I know you do. Do they call them, why the mud daubers? What do they call them up here? Mud daubers, dirt daubers. You know what they are. You know how they build their mud nests in leaves of houses and such like that. I think there's more down south than there are here. They're very prevalent down south. Anyway, the dirt diver was building his nest in the barrel of the shotgun. And the honeybee flies by and looks at him and goes, mm-mm. And then the bumblebee flies by him and goes, mm-mm. But he just continues on building his nest in the barrel of the shotgun. And you know what happens? The first shot got him. Right? The first shot got him. It didn't take two or three. The first shot got him. So you know what the moral of the story is? Don't build your nest in the barrel of the shotgun. Right? If you're a dirt diver. Well, if you're a child of God, you don't walk with those that are not walking with God. And we're not talking about contact. Jesus told us, said that there's, and Paul said in Romans chapter 10, said we're going to have contact with the world, but we don't have to be contaminated with the world. We don't have to be conformed to the world. We would have to be taken out of the world, as talking in John chapter 17. The Lord said, I'm not asking you to take them out of the world, but that you would keep them from the world. Protect us from worldliness. What is worldliness? Worldliness is being in love with passing things. Being in love with that which is not godly or not of the Lord. Loving that which is temporal and passing. He says, my son, walk not thou in the way with them, refrain thy foot from their path. In Proverbs, I've got some verses if you want to write down the reference. It might be helpful sometime. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 20 says, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. A companion of fools shall be destroyed. So we have a contrast here. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. You know Psalm 1 verse 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. In verse 11 of Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 11, he says, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. The Lord Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Our lives are to be manifested with good works, characterized by good works, good things. And I know we're thinking about high school and college and grade school and friends and people. But you see, even in the workplace or even in your neighborhood, there are those that we could have fellowship with, but do we choose to or not? Is it someone that we can help? Well, we need to be careful about that as well, because sometimes it's possible to try to help someone that's not living for the Lord, and they wind up bringing us down to their level instead of us bringing them up to ours. Must be careful about that. He's pretty clear about this, isn't God's Word? Proverbs chapter 4, verses 14 and 15, listen to this. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it. pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. Pretty clear again. You know, we talk about teenagers, but what about, you know, have you ever known somebody and, they want to see how close to the cliff they can get without falling off? Just, they want to see how close you can get to the edge without falling off. How about staying way back here? That's what he says. He says, stay away from it. Now, I share this with young people as often as I can, but it applies to us as well, to older folks as well. Don't let temptation and opportunity get together. Do not let temptation and opportunity get together. Because that's when you've got a problem. You know, it's not a sin to be tempted. We can't help that when we're tempted. But it is wrong. It's a sin to submit or to yield to that temptation. You might have the opportunity, but you're not tempted. That may happen. You may have opportunity to do wrong, to take something that doesn't belong to you, to say something that you shouldn't say, to do something with someone, as is given the illustration here. You don't have the opportunity. Or you might have the opportunity, but you don't have the temptation. But when temptation and opportunity get together, we've got a problem here. You better flee from it then. You remember Joseph? Potiphar's wife? Temptation and opportunity. What did he do? Did he say, well, you know, hey, let's talk about this. You know, you just don't understand. I love the Lord, and this is just not right. Now, he said that he already told her that he would not do such a thing and dishonor God and sin against God in doing. He'd already said that. But last time, he had to leave. He had to get away from it. And that's what this verse says, doesn't it? He says, avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. Psalm 26, verses 4 and 5. Here's another two good verses. This is David, the psalmist, speaking. He says, I have not sat with vain persons, neither will I go in with dissemblers. This word, dissemblers, means tricksters, those that would bring us down or get us in a bad situation unknowingly, much like this passage we're looking at in Proverbs chapter 1. I will not go in with dissemblers. I have hated the congregation of evildoers and will not sit with the wicked. Now, we see these verses. Look at down in our text, if you would. It says in verse 16, for their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. Verse 17, surely in vain the net is spread in the side of any bird. This is a very interesting verse because he's saying, you know, what is so sad about this whole thing is those that are going in the wrong direction, that are trying to carry as many people with them in sin and wickedness and commit these crimes and sins and doing these things that's ungodly and wicked, they ought to be able to see that the consequences of their behavior or actions is going to result in harm to them. How can criminals today think that they're going to get away with what they do? You know, you see things, people robbing banks. How many bank robbers get away with it? Very few. And even if they do, quote, get away with it, can they enjoy what they took? I can't imagine doing something like that, thinking I got away with it. Then a week or two later, I hear this at the door. Somebody knows. See a police car go down the road. Bad things are going to be a result. The consequences of evil actions are you going to reap evil things. And so, he says, even birds. Surely in vain the net is spread in the side of. He said, if you want to catch a bird and you spread the net out there where they can see it, they've got enough sense not to get in it. Why that's why we say it's almost a supernatural pathway of those that are going this direction that are led by Satan and by the lust of this world, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Those three areas, again, both as far as the world and those who know God. In Jeremiah, this is an interesting verse here that I found that applies to this verse 17. It says, "Yea, the stork in heaven knoweth her appointed times, and the turtle and the crane, and the swallow observe the time of their coming. But my people know not the judgment of the Lord." When God's people Israel got away from the Lord, they continued going even though they knew it was sinful and wicked and that they would pay a price for it. They knew that and they kept going anyway. He said, even the birds, the turtle, they understand what's going on, but people sometimes act so ignorantly. Now, if you would look down to verse 19 again. Well, verse 18, let's share that because it goes along with verse 17. "And they lay wait for their own blood. They lurk privily for their own lives." Basically, they think they're going to take things from others or do things to others, but what ultimately happens is that they pay the price. Many times in this world, and if they don't know the Lord, then in their judgment of God at the great white throne of judgment. We all know folks that have went the wrong direction. Some of them have testimonies that they've known the Lord. That's another message. We'll start talking about what people say, if they're professors or possessors. A lot of folks talking about heaven, it ain't going there. Well, look at verse 19 again, if you would. "So are the ways of every one that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof." Proverbs 15, verse 27, it says, "He that is greedy of gain troubleth his own house." Not just himself, but his own house. There's going to be others that are going to suffer because of greediness and covetousness. "He that is greedy of gain troubleth his own house, but he that hateth gifts shall live." What? Hate gifts? Are you kidding me? Why, don't we all love gifts? Well, yes. But you know, he's talking about gifts that are really bribes. Did you know a gift can be a bribe in certain situations? It most certainly can. That's what it's talking about here. Be careful. Be careful that gift that you're getting from somebody is not a bribe to get involved or to be or do what they want you to do. Young ladies need to remember that. And so he says in verse 27 of Proverbs 15, "He that is greedy of gain troubleth his own house, but he that hateth gifts shall live." We have a recognition, we have a discernment. We allow the Spirit of God, we ask for wisdom to help us to make the right choices and decisions and to live a life that's pleasing as unto the Lord. And I read most of this verse with you pertaining to verse 19, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. "They that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." Do you remember our first lesson, or lesson last week, we talked about this word instruction up here in verse 3, that it had to do with warning. The basis of that instruction is warning. Well, he immediately starts out with a warning to his son here. He says, be careful, because the devil would like to destroy you. You can destroy our name. And my dad used to say, "Son, don't dishonor the family name." And that was before I was saved. That was before my dad was saved. He wasn't talking about our Christian name. He was talking about our family name. And so these things are important. It's important. And it's important that we set the right example. You say, "Well, you know, I don't have to deal with, I don't think this is going to happen to me." Well, we have to remember as adults that we have to deal with peer pressure as well as teenagers do. Teenagers and young people have to deal with it. Adults do as well. And you see it everywhere you go. You see it in alcohol consumption and what's going on in the liquor industry today. All this connected with wanting to do something that's exciting and make somebody else happy or do what somebody else is doing. My dad did say something that maybe your dad or grandfather said to you I don't have time to go into my teen years. I will along the way somehow, a little bit. But he said, if such and such jumps off a cliff, you're going to jump off too? I said, well, Joe's doing it. And he said, well, if Joe jumps off a cliff, you're going to do it too? No doubt you may have heard that as well. That's a good one, isn't it? Amen. Well, I appreciate you. Appreciate your prayers and attention today. Let's be dismissed in a word of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your blessings today and thank you for this time with these dear folks. And Lord, as we consider what you've said here, we know that there's different things that we all deal with and face. Not the same for everybody. But Lord, there's so much we can learn, so much that we need to be aware of. We need to know that the devil would desire to destroy us and to destroy our testimony, destroy our influence. And the more influence that we have, the more he would desire to destroy it. And to ruin the lives of these young people. To destroy them before they can even get started. Lord, I pray that you'd help us. Help us to trust you. Help us to love you. And help us to follow you.